Good morning, friends. Let's prepare our hearts for worship by taking in a deep breath, remembering the Holy Spirit that is breathing among us and moving in all of our contexts. And I light the Christ candle to remind us of the light of Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness does not overcome. Let's begin our worship and song with Charlie.
Good morning, everyone. If you are anything like me this morning, you come to church carrying some burdens. And I went back to work this week as a teacher, and I know many of you also either went back to work or sent students into schools, and the great unknown seems big right now. And I needed daily reminders that God is bigger than that great unknown. I have a cousin who was evacuated from her home in Oregon with her 5 children, and another cousin in San Francisco, and seeing the images coming in, the unknown is big, and God is bigger. And so this morning, we start by singing, "Come Away from Rush and Hurry." It's an invitation to put your faith and your trust in the one who carries all of these things and so much more. And let's sing together. The words will be up and you'll be able to hear me as we sing together this morning. Come away from rush and hurry to the stillness of God's peace. From our vain ambitions worry, come to Christ and find release. Come away from noise and clamor, life's demands and frenzied pace. Come to join the people gathered here to seek and find God's face. In the pastures of God's goodness, we lie down to rest our souls. From the waters of his mercy, we drink deeply, are made whole. At the table of his presence, all his saints are richly fed. With the oil of his anointing, into service we are led. Come then, children, with your burdens, life's confusions, fears, and pain. Leave them at the cross of Jesus, take instead his kingdom's reign. Bring your thirst, for he will quench them, he alone will satisfy. All our longings find attainment when to self we gladly die. For our second song this morning, it's always a treat for me when I look at the order of service and see that the scripture being preached on is something that we have a song from in our community. And particularly if you've been in the morning congregation over the last few years, you'll know this one. And if you haven't been, then it's a great time to learn it. This comes straight from James 3, which we'll be hearing Amy preach on later on today, and it's about God's wisdom, this active wisdom of goodness in our lives. God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom brings peace. God's wisdom is gentle and true. Full of mercy and love, impartial, sincere. God's wisdom is gentle and true. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom brings peace. God's wisdom is gentle and true. Full of mercy and love, impartial, sincere. God's wisdom is gentle and true. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom brings peace. God's wisdom is gentle and true.
So today's scripture is from the book of James in the New Testament, verses 1 to 18. James 3, 1 to 18. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today we have the privilege of Amy Anderson opening up this passage and preaching to us from her own studies, reflections, and prayers. So we're grateful to have Amy with us. And I'm just going to say a prayer for her, for us, as we listen. Gracious God, we thank you that you are the word of life and that you daily give us food to live by and to deepen in our journey as disciples with you. Thank you for Amy, the times that she has spent studying this passage and preparing. And we ask that you would give us hearts that are open to what you want to say to each one of us today through this passage and through her reflections. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Joy. When I realized what passage I'd been asked to speak on today, I laughed, and then I had a moment of terror that's kind of ongoing till now, because this isn't a complex passage. It's not a really confusing passage, but it's a really, really challenging passage. The first thing I ever remember being convicted of in my Christian walk is impatient speech, and that continues to be one of the things that I am most convicted of most frequently in all of my life. So I just want to be starting by saying I'm not speaking to you today from a place of perfection, but from a place of believing and understanding the importance of what James is talking about in this passage. So I hope you'll enter into it with me as we receive conviction, but also encouragement together in this. The last verse in James 3 says, it tells us the goal of our life together, the goal of our speech, the goal of our actions, and that is that we would become peacemakers who sow in peace and who reap a harvest of righteousness. We're called to cultivate peace and righteousness in our own lives and in the community. But the way to do that is not smooth, and James recognizes this. He says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what she says is perfect, able to keep her whole body in check. So there are lots of things that get in the way of our efforts to be people who are marked by peace and righteousness. But James points out, and I think he's right, that speech is one of the most constant things that seems to interfere in this. James says the tongue is a small thing, but it has a big impact. And he uses lots of imagery to talk about this here, but the one that's most powerful is actually super relevant right now. He says that the tongue is like the spark that starts a wildfire. And this week we're seeing really clearly what that looks like, what the spark can do. We are literally living under the cloud of its consequences here in Vancouver. And the tongue is like that. Our words can seem small, they can seem harmless, but they have a huge power to change, to shape, and to destroy the world around us. Their consequences can cast a big shadow. Another image came to mind for me as I was thinking about this. For work, I was reviewing a study on social distancing and COVID, and there were these kind of disgusting pictures of people sneezing where it was lit up so you could see like all the droplets in the air of their sneeze. It was great. So the most memorable picture was one of this like 8-meter cloud of spray coming out of this person. And the caption described it as the multi-phase turbulent gas cloud from natural human violent emission, which is another way of saying a sneeze, and its droplet concentrated payload. So all the work that we're doing as a society right now, all the social distancing, all the masking, is to avoid that droplet concentrated payload that just explodes out of us when we sneeze. And our words are like that. They're like a spark, but they're also like a sneeze. It's a small thing, it takes a moment, and as soon as we've spoken them, as soon as we've sent them out, they are out there in the world doing their work. So James talks about the words that when they go out there and they do their work, they do work that is not helpful in cultivating peace or righteousness. Throughout the book of James, the letter of James, he talks about different things that get in the way, but a few stood out to me. One is cursing. And so when we think of cursing, often we think back to sort of like, you know, magic curses, that kind of thing. But really a curse is calling down harm on somebody. So speaking desire and the intention of harm towards them. James talks about slandering, which is lying or kind of speculating about people's motives and speaking as though our guesses are true. And he talks about judging. So seeking out the weakness in the people around us and spreading the news around about that, or seeing what's not good. And instead of seeking to heal, just kind of like digging into that and talking about what's not good rather than trying to work towards what could be good. And all of these things undermine the cultivation of peace and righteousness in our own lives and in the community. I think it's interesting, or it's important for me in particular to note that it's not just clumsy and thoughtless words that can cause harm. They can be intelligent, they can be articulate, they can be clever, but they can still be harmful. Intelligence in our speech is not the same as wisdom, and insight in our speech is not the same as love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So our words need to be guided by wisdom. They need to be guided by love, and they need to be brought under the control of the Spirit so that our words, like our actions and like our faith, can be tools of peace and righteousness rather than tools of destruction. So when James talks about the wise use of the tongue, first and foremost, it's actually not about saying the right thing. It's about holding back. It's about like not even initiating that droplet concentrated payload until the time is right. So he says in verse 119, you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And then a few verses later, he says, those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So there's sort of a baseline here that our starting point when we speak is actually silence. In silence, we come to a place where we're able to reflect on our motives, we're able to reflect on what's going on around us, and we're able to seek peace and righteousness and sort of start to allow that to work in our hearts. But that's not the whole story. It's not exactly that we should never talk. For most of us, definitely for me, talking a little less would be okay. But we're not called entirely to silence. Good speech with good faith and action that accompany it can also be a way of cultivating peace and righteousness. And I love that song that Charlie sang this morning because it kind of outlines, what does it look like for us to be living towards peace and righteousness? What is the wisdom that guides us in that direction? James says that wisdom is pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It holds back from speaking thoughtlessly or selfishly. It's submissive and full of mercy. It holds back from speaking judgment. It's full of good fruit, so it brings life, not death. It's impartial and it's sincere. And that sincerity is holding back from anything that's just talk, making sure that our speech is united with our faith and with our rooting in Christ, and it's also united with our action, the outworking of our rootedness in Christ. So there are lots of good words we can speak while pursuing our calling as peacemakers. In chapter 5, he talks about a whole bunch of different ways that we can speak good words. He says, you can sing. I really missed singing praise with you guys. It's been one of the things that have been most painful for me in this time. He says you can pray, you can ask God and each other for help. You can confess your sins to each other. And if you're speaking hard truths, you can speak them in hope, seeking to restore, not condemn. So controlling our tongues isn't just about not saying things, although that is definitely part of it. It's also about practicing good words that are not just good words, but are guided by the wisdom and love that work with our actions and work with our faith to cultivate peace and righteousness in our own lives and in our community. So that's what I heard in the passage this morning.
May the Lord bless you, bless you. May the Lord keep you, keep you. May the Lord bless you, bless you. May the Lord keep you, keep you.